Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, he does. God always answers prayer. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Well, today's men's fellowship, looking forward to it. I heard through the grapevine, a little birdie said, Sister Char is making something special for the men today. And we're going to be at Brother Dick's place. Have a little campfire and have Brother Sterling teach us on the armor of God, and we're set to have a great men's fellowship. We're here in Romans chapter 16, Romans 16, verse 16. It says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you with great anticipation, knowing that you are the God of enlightenment, that you teach us and instruct us and guide us and empower us through truth. Bless us today, as again, we come with great anticipation to sit around your table to hear what thus saith the Lord. Bless us, O God, we pray. Bless this study. Bless this series as we continue tomorrow, Saturday, and then even Sunday as we begin to talk about religious kissing. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We started on Tuesday to talk about religious kissing. I haven't even gotten into Romans 16:16 yet, and I will not be getting into Romans 16:16 proper until 2 weeks from now. So this week what I decided to do was introduce my dear brothers and sisters to the concept of religious kissing, and looking at religious kissing based on comparative religions. On Tuesday, we saw that Satanists practice what they call the kiss of shame or the obscene kiss in order to show their worship and their homage and their veneration to Satan. When he shows up at their services, they kiss the devil in the rump. Of course, it is a most defiling kiss, a most despicable kiss, a vulgar kiss, whatever adjective you want to use. It is disgusting, but that's what Satan does. Satan pollutes the body and the soul. On Wednesday, we saw how the children of Israel, God's covenant people, had departed from the Lord to the great lament of the prophet Elijah, who was bemoaning the fact in 1 Kings 19, verses 14 through 18, that God's people had so departed from the Lord that they had torn down God's altars and were worshiping the golden calves. And we saw how in the worship of Baal, you had to kiss the calf and bow before the calf. To kiss the calf is to venerate, to render homage, to worship, to be engaged in idolatry. So lesson one is kissing Satan. Lesson two, kissing the calves. When you kiss the calves, you are essentially, as Paul reveals in 1 Corinthians 10, 20, and 21, if you're kissing the calves, you're kissing demons. Because the calves represent demons. That's what Scripture reveals. So you're kissing Satan, or you could be kissing demons. Yesterday we looked at ecclesiastical antichrists. What's an antichrist? An antichrist is a person who is not only opposed to Christ, but desires to take the place of Christ. And we saw that the Roman Catholic Church is very good at producing antichrists. In fact, the Pope is an antichrist, according to Scripture. Every archbishop is an antichrist. Every cardinal, every bishop, every suffragan bishop, every priest is an antichrist, because they teach, Roman Catholicism teaches, that every bishop, every suffragan bishop, every archbishop, every cardinal, and even the Pope takes the place of Christ. They are what they call the vicar of Christ. Latin vicar means substitute for Christ. They take the place of Christ before the people. That constitutes them an antichrist. And not only does the word vicar give it away and the true meaning of the word vicar, but also the fact that they require that you bow before them and kiss their hand and kiss their ring, as we saw yesterday, as we heard yesterday through the audio. Today I want to show you that the dragon, Satan, is going to require in the future that humanity kiss him. And not just him, but also his antichrist. And not just his antichrist, but the image or the idol of the antichrist. Now, before we get into the book of Revelation, let us quickly go to Job 31. Let's go to Job 31, the book of Job. In Job 31, starting at verse 26, it reads, Job 31, 26, 27, and 28. So, this is what it says. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, in other words, if I looked at the sun during the day, or if I gazed at the moon at night when it was shining, if I had done that, and my heart had been secretly enticed, in other words, if my heart had been in love with the sun or the moon, and this is what you call the worship of the celestial bodies. Not only do men worship one another, not only do men worship graven and molten images, but also men worship celestial bodies. So Job says, if I beheld the sun when it shined, when it was at its strongest, or the moon walking in the brightness. Now again, the sun represents Baal, and the moon Baal's wife, Astarte. And my heart had been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. Also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. So what is Job talking about? Well, he's saying, listen, men engage in different kinds of idolatry. Men worship men. Men worship Satan. Men worship demons. Men worship idols. But then also men can worship the planets, the solar system, the celestial bodies. And so here Job is saying, if I was one of those kind, like who, the people who lived in Egypt, or the people who lived in Assyria, or the people who lived in Babylon, and even the ancient Mayans. The ancient Mayans worshipped the sun, and they worshipped the moon. Many nations worshipped the celestial bodies. Now, since they're not able to, no one is able to go and kiss the moon, and no one's able to go and kiss the sun like they can a graven image that they have in their house, or a graven image that there may be in some pedestal in some sanctuary. There's no way a human being can walk up to the sun or walk up to the moon and actually kiss it. There's no way. So the way one showed one's veneration, one's worship, one's homage to the moon was, kiss your hand and you waved your hand in the direction of the moon, and that's how you were giving the moon a kiss. We see this today in real life. Boyfriend and girlfriend, they're departing. The boyfriend is getting in his car, and the girlfriend is waving from the window, and he'll take his hand, and he'll kiss it, and he'll wave it her way. Now, of course, that's not idolatry, but that is love. I'm showing you love. I'm in love with you. Now, the pagans, the idolaters, took it to another level. This was their way of blowing kisses with the hand. If you blew kisses with your hand to something that was afar off, something that you could not get next to, that in itself was an act of idolatrous worship. That's what it was. And so Job says, listen, if I had done that, I would have denied the God of creation. I would have denied the one true God. I would have sinned against him. But I was not guilty of that, although many in my society, many in my day, were guilty of doing such a thing. So we have here two quotes. One is from Fawcett's Critical Commentary, and the other one is from Irving's Bible Commentary, and you can read that at your leisure. But this is what Job's talking about, throwing kisses. Okay, now, as we get into the book of Revelation, I want to show you that when the Antichrist shows up, the ultimate Antichrist, we talked about yesterday how there are some intermediary Antichrists or some minor Antichrists. There's going to be a major Antichrist, the ultimate Antichrist. When that individual shows up, people will not be able to get next to him. If you look at the old newsreels, if you look at Hitler, when Hitler was in his heyday and Hitler was giving those rousing speeches and there was 100,000 Nazis in the stadium sitting there hearing Hitler, nobody could get next to him. So this is why they would raise their hand and say, Heil Hitler. Right? That was their way of showing homage to Hitler. Well, in the days to come, people are going to be worshiping the Antichrist the way the Nazis used to worship Hitler. And Hitler, in the eyes of the Nazis, could do no wrong. So let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, it reads, "And they worshiped the dragon." The dragon, of course, is Satan. "And they worshiped the dragon," the people, the populace, humanity, will in the future bow down and worship the dragon and blow kisses to the dragon. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast," or unto the Antichrist. "And they worshiped the beast also." So not only did they worship the dragon, not only did they worship Satan, but they worshiped his Christ. Now, if you look here at the bullet points that I have, and this is coming to us from Robert Young's Concise Commentary on the Holy Bible, which was printed in 1865 in London. Now, Robert Young, who also put together the Young's Critical Concordance, a marvelous scholar, notice how he interprets Revelation 13:4. The key word is worshipped. Literally, what does it mean? It means kissed forward the hand to the dragon. Kiss forward the hand to the little wild beast. So I want you to notice. Look at the picture on your left, on the top left. There is a woman there kissing forward her hand. That is what you are actually wafting kisses or blowing kisses. Now, when the Antichrist shows up, he's going to have a greater following than Hitler could have ever imagined. The whole world, though, it's not just one nation or a group of people in a nation called the Nazis. No, the whole world is going to fall in love with the Antichrist and with Satan. And they're going to start waving kisses. They're going to take their hand to their mouth. They're going to kiss it and fling it at the Antichrist. You know that when there's a political rally and there's thousands and thousands of people in a stadium, people there in the stadium who are hearing the speech, there's no way, based on Secret Service protection, there's no way that anyone is going to get next to the political leader who is giving the speech. Thus, from afar, they're going to be wafting or blowing their kisses at the Antichrist and at Satan. So now let's look at verse number 8 in chapter 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Worship whom? They're going to worship the Antichrist. This word worship, again, is literally, if you look at your bullet point there for Revelation 13:8, literally, those dwelling upon the land shall kiss forward the hand to him. These are the people who do not have their names written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the cosmos, or of the laying down of the cosmos. So true believers, true Christians, people like you and I, we will not be participating. You and I will not be blowing kisses at Antichrist. Why? Because if we're going to blow kisses to anyone, it's going to be to Jesus, not to the Antichrist. But I want you to notice the language. The language in the New Testament matches up with the language in Job 31:27, which is the Old Testament. When you can't get next to the object of your worship, because there is some restriction, or there's some boundary, or there's some there's space between you and that person, or there's distance, the way you worship them is by blowing kisses to them. The same way Job said there were people on earth blowing kisses to the sun at noon and blowing kisses to the moon at midnight, when the moon was in her greatest power and when the sun was at his greatest power, there were people blowing kisses at the sun, the moon, and the planets, like Jupiter. And so here you have it in Revelation 13:4 and in Revelation 13:8, the same language. those who are dwelling upon the earth, those who are not saved, those who do not have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be susceptible to lying spirits. They'll be caught up in the frenzy, and they'll be blowing kisses at whom? The Antichrist. We see this all the time. Anytime the Pope visits a nation, you name the Pope, Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict, Pope Francis, you name the Pope. You go back and you look at all the old newsreels. And these popes show up and there's tens of thousands of people thronging, looking for the Pope. And from afar, they're waving and they have banners and they're throwing kisses at him. That is the setup. That is the precursor. That is the conditioning for when Antichrist shows up. Remember in yesterday's lesson, people go to the Vatican. They have an audience with the Pope. When they stand before the Pope, they have to bow and they have to kiss the hand. Why? Because there's proximity there. But whenever the Pope is in a huge stadium and he's on a platform and he's waving at the crowd and he's waving, the people are throwing kisses at him and waving at him. That's what Revelation 13 is talking about. Now, let's look at Revelation 13, 12. And he exercises, referring to the false prophet, and he exercises all the power of the first beast who was before him. And this second beast or this second creature causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So look at verse 12. Verse 12, Revelation 13, 12 there in your bullet point says, literally, that they may kiss forward the hand of the little wild, to the little wild beast. And when you look at verse 15, it's the same thing. When you look at Revelation 14, 9, it's the same thing. When you look at Revelation 14, 11, it's the same thing. And when you look at Revelation 16, 12, it is the same thing. So all of these ecclesiastical antichrists, all of these bishops and archbishops in whatever church, whether it be the Anglican Church or whether they come from the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, it makes no difference. All of these ecclesiastical antichrists are preparing church folk, unsuspecting church folk, gullible church folk, to do what they do to them, to the Antichrist when he shows up. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a form of religious kissing, which equals idolatry, pagan idolatry. Now, you're not going to be kissing some minor Antichrist when you do it in the future. You'll be kissing the ultimate human Antichrist. So read these verses, go back to Job, read all the footnotes, read all the commentary, and as you can see in this picture here, the picture to your right, opposite of the woman who is blowing kisses, you can see there up on the top corner, you see a little creature. He looks like a goat. That's the second beast. That's the lamb. Who has two horns, but he speaks with the guttural intonations of the dragon. That is the false prophet. And there you see the dragon coming up out of the sea. This is the beast. You see the dragon, that's Satan. Now, look at all of the kings of the earth. Look at that receiving line. That's what you call a receiving line. And whenever the Pope shows up and politicians show up to meet the Pope, there's a receiving line. And all the people on the receiving line must kiss the hand and bow before the Pope. The same thing is going to play out in Revelation 13, in Revelation 14, and in Revelation 16. It's all going to play out because this is the script. So this form of religious kissing from a distance, from afar, you and I are never going to have an audience with the Pope. You and I are never going to be invited to the Vatican. And if you were, I hope you wouldn't go. I would never go. If I got an invitation, if I was told the Pope is sending a private jet to come and pick you up, and they're going to set you up in the most ritzy hotel there in Rome, and the next day you're going to meet the Pope and have lunch with the Pope, I would say, keep it all. I am not meeting with the Antichrist. I'm sorry. And by the way, if you read the Westminster Confession of Faith of 1648, written by the Puritan reformers, or if you read the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689, in both of those confessions of faith, the Pope is called Antichrist. Why? Because anyone who demands that you bow before him and kiss his hand is indeed an Antichrist. And all of these popes, and all of this history, and all of this fanfare, and all of this celebration, and all of this liturgy, and all of this pomp and circumstance whenever the Pope comes to a country, all of that is the big conditioning, the big setup for when Antichrist comes. And when the Antichrist shows up, he's going to have a sidekick called the false prophet, and the false prophet is going to cause the entire world to start blowing kisses to the Antichrist. And not just the Antichrist, but also they're going to worship the dragon. They're going to worship Satan. So we'll leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow. Another lesson on religious kissing. I'll leave you with a beautiful hymn from the Old Fashioned Revival Hour Quartet.
Sometimes the skies are cloudy and dreary. Sometimes our hearts are burdened with care. But we may know whatever may befall us, Jesus is always there. Never a burden that he does not carry. Never a sorrow that he does not sweet dear.